Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
There are times when it pays to be cautious. Financial advisors often counsel their clients to hold something back. Don't put all your assets in one thing. Diversify. My mother would say, don't put all your hopes in one pot. Maybe you've had such counseling before. You might have had a counselor tell you that what is true of your finances is also true of your relationships. Don't commit yourself too early. We might have received this advice. We might have acted on it. We might have found that it was good advice. But it is poor advice when it comes to building a relationship with God. In reality, our commitment to God should be such that nothing is held back. That means surrendering all that we are, all that we hope to be, our past, our present, and our future to God and Him alone. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Father, I ask as always that if there is anything in my mind or my heart that is not in total keeping with Your word, that You cast it out. These people did not come to hear me. They came to hear from You, directly from You. The words of life and death, the words that are true. Father, may these be the things that we hear today. Whatever language is a language that we speak, may we hear Your language of love tell us that we are valuable, that we, however low our circumstances, are of great esteem in Your eyes. May we also know those things that are wrong in our relationship with You. Let us know, Father. Let us be obedient to Your will, not ours. May we place our will today aside, and may we hear from You. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to read from Mark, and I'm going to start with 28 through 34. Now, the Pharisees and Sadducees have been questioning Jesus. Maybe you've been questioned this past week. Maybe your faith has been tested this past week. But they're testing Jesus, the people that are there. And in this scripture, we find that Jesus is undergoing trick questions from know-it-all lawyers, the Pharisees. His answers reflect His awareness of their purpose. He knows what they're really trying to do. And He answers every question from taxes to marriage, every question they have. And then one scribe who has heard Jesus answers the various Pharisees. He asked a question. And the question is a profound question. It is a question that borders on the understanding of the spiritual. He asks a question because he wants to learn. And Jesus looks at him. In 28, it says, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" Jesus was impressed with the scribe's question, and he gives him a clear, concise answer. The scribe really wanted to know. You see, you have to understand that during that time, the time that Jesus spoke here, there weren't just 10 commandments. You know, the ones that God gave to Moses. No, there were 613 commandments. They were broken down. The 10 were broken down into small bite-sized sound bites that the lawyers could twist and rule on. You and I don't mean to be, but we are lawbreakers. I don't know about the rest of you, of course, but I do know about me, and I'm a lawbreaker. Did you know that when you drive into Dallas, you have to drive with a red lantern in your car? The law is still on the books that at every intersection you have to stop. You have to get out and wave your lantern in every direction so that you can warn the horses that you're coming through. There are just too many laws. I don't know all of them, and so I break them all the time, I'm sure. But ignorance is no excuse. I break the laws. You break the laws. They're still on the books. There is a farmer who was very upset, and he was very happy when Trump negated the rule which had become a law that on farmland, any piece of water, any water that ponded on your land was considered a reservoir and you couldn't do anything about it. That was a regulation. Too often we're in that situation. We're between the knowledge of what the law is and the practicality of how to go through the law. In Jesus' time, people knew that they couldn't break the Sabbath. They had to keep the Sabbath holy. And it was determined that walking for 2 miles was breaking the Sabbath. And the Romans were very good. They put mile markers on their roads. So if you wanted to travel and you went to an attorney, a Pharisee, and you asked him, he would tell you that you could travel. All you would have to do was pitch your tent. And so you would have your servants pitch your tent 1.5 miles or 2 miles from where you started walking. You would walk into the tent, and then you could go another 2 miles. And in this way, you could travel as far as you wanted to or as far as you needed to. There is in Israel today hotels that are completely booked on the Sabbath on Saturday, which is their Sabbath, that have elevators that go directly, they're called Sabbath elevators, without you pushing, which would be work, the knob. You just get on the elevator and it takes you and stops at every single solitary floor until you get to your destination. So this scribe, to him, this question was of utmost importance. What is the greatest commandment? What is the first commandment? What is the one commandment that I cannot break? And he was told, Jesus does not respond to attempts to manipulate him. As I have found out, much to my chagrin, I too often get in front of Jesus instead of being in step with Jesus. Too often I'm lagging behind and I'm not in step with Jesus. It's hard to keep his stride exactly, but when you're in perfect synchronized steps with Jesus, you are going his way. Jesus does not respond. We can't persuade him to substitute our will for his will too often. But he does tell us that he will listen to those who are sincere and really have a question. He will be the answer to that question. He says, come to me and learn from me. That invitation is always open. On the occasion, the scribe received an answer to his question of which was the greatest commandment in very clear terms. The answer was not found in some hidden text. It wasn't found, you look up this and then you look up that and you look up Deuteronomy and you look up Leviticus and no. It wasn't that at all. Jesus told him in very clear terms what every Jew already knew. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no greater commandments than these. That is, in fact, the truth. Jesus told the scribe the truth. And it's hard for us to understand. Life is to be centered on God, and God's demand to love Him is all-encompassing. We have to love God more than we love anything else. There is no holding back with God. There is no partial love for God. I can't say that, 25% of the time, I'm a good Christian. No. You can't say that because God doesn't want anything but your all. I heard an old pastor say once, he'll either be God of all or he won't be your God at all. I think that's true. Our commitment must be total. It says that Jesus said, the scribe said to him, you have spoken well. You have spoken the truth. For there is one God and there are no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not afar from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared question him. You are not far from the kingdom of God. The man was not yet in the kingdom, but he wasn't far from the kingdom. He was close to the king. The challenge of the important commandment required more than an affirmation of the truth that Jesus Christ spoke. It required evidence. Evidence that you loved him. Evidence that you loved your neighbor as yourself. The second commandment was like the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. There is nothing left behind. Nothing is to be withheld. The evidence of our love of God with the totality of our whole being is the way we love others. That is the evidence that God is looking for. How do you love me? You love me by making those that I loved, those that I created, feel that you care about their needs, that you are my ambassador to them, that you pick up where Jesus walked. Jesus said, greater things than I do, you will do because I go to be with my Father. He gave us the command to do things for other people, to pray for people, to set ourselves in a situation where we can affect others. The man was close, but no cigar. He was close. But their evidence of loving God and those that he created was not there. Jesus touched the outcast. He touched the leper. He touched the sick. He freed the people who were bound by demonic possession. He did things proactively. He dined, if you remember, with the wine dibbers, the sinners, the tax collectors. He wanted everyone to know his love. That is what he is calling us to do. It is a true reflection of our service to meet the needs of others. And it means giving ourselves away every day, everything we have. Jesus is telling us that if we love him with our total heart, soul, mind, and strength, we'll be willing to lay down our very lives for our friends. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. We're willing to lay down our lives for our fellow friends of God, the ones that he created, men, women, boys, and girls. Then we become like the lady who was in the church just a week ago when a gunman came into the church and began to empty his semi-automatic rifle into the bodies of the people. She lay over her three children, absorbing the rain of bullets that came down, prayerfully submitting herself that others that she loved might live. I read an article this morning about a pastor in Fort Worth. A pastor in Fort Worth has given himself away all the time. He gives himself away by ministering to the poor, to the have-nots, to the drug addicts, to those who have nothing, the homeless, people who have zero. And they're considered zero as far as the world is concerned. But he loves them. He loves them with the love of Christ. He loves them to his own sacrifice. Because he was married and he gave away most of what he got and most of what his wife got. But then his He lost his job. He was bivocational. He lost his job. He decided that he would be full-time in ministering to the people. Then his wife lost her job as a nurse because of illness that she had. And the bills were mounting up. There was nothing coming in because people who have nothing can give nothing. And that is the way it was. This man moved in to a shelter that he had told many homeless people to go to. And he was there in their very midst. Jesus is here in our very midst. He loves us with a love that goes beyond any sacrifice that we can possibly make. He loves us. He's willing to continue with us. It reveals that the Father is not far off. When we love one another, we begin to be in His kingdom. When we care for one another, we're showing that we love God. And therefore, we are in the kingdom. We sometimes sing, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. There was a time when I preached a sermon in Virginia, and I was preaching at this large church in Virginia, First Baptist Church of Springfield, Virginia. And I gave an invitation, and I said, now don't sing this song unless you mean it from your heart. Don't just let the words come out. Make sure that this is a song that you really understand and you believe. And so we sang the song, the hymn of invitation. A woman came up to me afterwards, and she said, you've ruined that song for me for my whole life. Because she didn't mean it. There was a man by the name of Michael Slatter. He was one of the leaders of the anti-Baptist movement. And the anti-Baptists composed one of the most radical obedience groups of the Reformation, 1500s. And in 1527, Michael gave everything he had to God. He submitted to be burned at the stake. And even after the flames were consuming his flesh, people could hear him singing praises to God and quoting God's promises. Just like the woman who lay over her three children last Sunday here in Texas and gave her life, hoping, praying that by the bullets entering her body, they wouldn't enter her children's. Michael had three principles that he lived by and died for. The principles were these. First was saving faith, which implies radical obedience to the commands of Christ. He said the Sermon on the Mount was the Christian manifesto. Second was the key to following Jesus, was receiving the victory that He gave over life and death and sickness and everything that there was. And third, Christians are to be conformed to the image of Christ. They are to reflect the character and integrity of Jesus. They are to be just like Jesus. The question that each of us has to face today is, Jesus gave Himself for us. Are we willing to do likewise? Give ourselves to God and to others? That is a real question, isn't it? It's not an easy sort of thing to give up all the pleasures of this world for the cross of Christ. But that's what he asks people to do over and over and over again. I think he means it. When he asks the rich young ruler to sell all he had, give it to the poor, and then pick up his cross and follow Jesus. What is he saying to you?
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.